Hey, everybody, welcome to the TMT Podcast, where fall is always in season. I am your host, David. With me, as always, is my fellow host, Jamie.
Yep, that's me.
And in today's world of video gaming news, everyone is still flipping out about Legend of Zelda.
Are you?
I am, except... Well, here's the thing.
It's a thing.
There's a thing. So, I managed... This was a whole adventure, actually, involving me and Dave's adventure to try to get a Nintendo Switch.
Okay, let's play this out. It's like a little story.
So
Dave's adventure to get a Switch. That's the
title. Checked eBay after checking Amazon eBay. And seeing that nothing there was, everything was over $400, and there was one on sale. There was a bid for no bids on a Switch for $400.
Okay,
and it was about to expire in about 30 seconds. And I said, you know what? I can't do this. I need it.
And I was that just a Switch, or was that with a game?
It was just a Switch.
Huh.
I needed it, Jamie. It needed to happen. So I got it. I paid down for it. Paid it in full. It's on its shipping now. And then Saturday, I said, okay, well, now I need to go and get the game. So I went to get to the game, walked into GameStop, and apparently... Here's Carver just kicking me in the balls for no reason other than it can. Apparently, someone had bought two by accident, and they didn't want the other one, so they left it there for someone else to buy. So I could have gotten one for $100 cheaper if I had known.
And also, you'd have had it earlier than the one you
yes.
bought.
Yes! And I felt very sad about that.
So you've got the game, and you've got the Switch on its way.
Yep, I have the game sitting right here. I just can't do anything with it. I have the Switch that will be on its way either this week or next week. But I could have had it for $100 less if I had known. And it's just like, why? Why do you hurt me?
Damn, that's... I don't know what that is. That's not
it's painful is what
that's
it
just
is.
Like, that's just like... Yeah, it's just pain. Just physical pain. Maybe you should lick the cartridge to make you feel better.
I'm not going to lick the... I haven't even opened it, taken out the plastic yet.
Honestly, I'd say do it just to see how tiny it is.
No, I don't want to. It'll be more exciting when the console finally arrives and I can set it up and do it that way.
Yeah. It's easy setup. It's the easiest console I've ever set up.
Yep. So, hopefully, eventually, I will be able to play Breath of the Wild. But also, you know what else comes out this week? Or next week, Jamie?
I don't know.
Mass Effect Andromeda.
Yeah.
Yeah. That game I keep telling you should really try.
You're telling me. There's full dude on dude sex, right?
I mean, if you choose to go that option, you don't have to.
I mean, there's others too, but that one, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was an option in the other one as well.
Oh, good. And you see everything, don't you?
No.
No.
Let's see. In BioWare games, they don't really show anything. Dragon Age Inquisition was the first game where you could actually see things. In every other one, it was like kind of censored in what you couldn't really actually see anything going on. It was the classic awkward cutscene where they wouldn't really show you, which I appreciated. I mean, I didn't really want to see that stuff. In fact, when it happened to me in Inquisition, I was like, oh, shoot, skip, 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 skip. But, yeah.
Oh, Mass Effect Andromeda dev says game features full nudity.
Well, okay, that's the old ones didn't. I'm not quite sure how I feel about that.
Let me just pre-order this.
Jamie's all about them boys.
Apparently, I don't know why I went straight to that. Gosh.
Yeah, why did you?
I kind of want Charlie to get it and play through it again for Team DeBarle so my face could be all up on them again.
I want my face all over them. Or in the words of our Dark Souls playthrough, because that was the name of an invader we fought. And so I just started repeating that as like my battle cry.
You sound like angry Yoda.
Come for your souls, I have. What was that?
That was Yoda with a cough.
That was a bowel movement of the doomed. something was not right there.
Yoda on the toilet.
I don't want to meet him ever again. That's terrifying.
Poor Yoda.
Yoda should never sound like that. But yeah, so that's like one of my new favorite battle cries whenever I play a Soulsborne game. I just go, because who wouldn't, right?
I always wanted, with the whole Witcher 3, my face on all the tits. I always wanted to make like do a series of different pictures and send them off, just so like it could be a bit more, like they can have like a bit of an Heather could have a bit of an option when she edited it.
That's like there'd
be
funny.
One with me with a Christmas hat.
That's kind of
one
funny.
With me with like a crown. I wanted to have a bit of a reference point.
Yeah.
You know when normal people go in, they're like, they're getting their headshots because they're going to be an actor. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what are you getting your headshots for? Oh, they're going to be on tits.
Oh, this is, look how successful I am. I'm the most popular censor in the country. And you know, with all that like new anti-pornography in Britain, you could have a serious business on your hand. This is your time, Jamie. You could become a star. Just not the star nobody wanted.
I bought this pornography, but there's this kid's head in the way.
At least you're aware that most adults still view you as a kid, even though you're technically as an adult.
Well,
Jamie, it still happens to me too. Until you're over 30 or 35, technically you're still a kid.
Yeah, but then you get like 40-year-olds being like, look at this kid.
Yeah, you still got that young blood for the time being.
Yeah, and I will keep it. Yeah, it's in my jars.
This is my young blood. What else are you going to do?
I don't like blood.
You get queasy around it?
No, I've just... Last year I had a really bad experience where I had like 8 blood tests in a year.
Oh, it's not that much.
Yeah, but it's just... I said I got 8 blood tests. There was one time where I got a blood test, but it took like 6 goes for me to find a good vein.
Oh, I think you've told me this story where it was just like a really bad person for doing it.
Like, she just didn't know what she was doing. I was just like, ugh. And then she would switch arms. I was just like, I probably have told this story.
I think you have. Yeah. We've told like the same story like several times on this podcast. It's what we're known for. It's why the CIA is trying to stop us from connecting on Skype.
Yeah.
Should we mention that absurdity? It took us like 4 phone calls to get together.
It's getting harder.
They're learning.
It's getting really intense. It's weird.
Now that their secrets have been revealed, they're trying everything they can to stop us. Excuse me.
But yeah, so I got like I had my first blood test of the year this week. And it was literally the quickest thing. It was an old lady, and I was thinking, oh dear, this could be bad. Because, you know, old ladies shake a bit.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that.
But, you know, she got the needle, just jabbed it in, barely felt anything.
That's good.
Like she said it would be a bit of a scratch, but I guess I'm just used to it. Hmm. And then she was taking it. And, like, this is the point where I was thinking to myself, she's taking a long time. Looked around, and there was, like, 4 jars of blood. I was like, how much do you want?
All of it. But I mean, all of it.
Like, you know, they like tie off your arms and you don't get all the blood coming in one place.
Mm-hmm.
But it got to a point where there wasn't enough blood coming out of my arms, so she had to untie it a little bit so some more blood would come through.
Oh, no, they always loosen it after they've got the needle in there. Oh. Otherwise, it restricts blood flow. No, don't worry. That was normal, right. Jamie. That was normal.
Okay.
It's okay.
She's like, this arm's drained. Move on to the other one.
This body's fresh. Yes. Bring me a new host. What do you... I'm a little curious. I think the last time I had a blood test was, I don't know, getting ready for kindergarten. So what do you get blood tests for? Is it like something you're willing to talk about, or is it just like something people do in England to get blood tests?
And I could talk about it. I had some medical stuff last year.
Ah.
I had a day. Well, I had a series of days. This is actually a really great story that I've always wanted to bring up, but I've never really wanted to be like, hey, I've got medical problems.
No, why not? Let's all share in our misery.
You talked about shitting in a van. I'll talk about this.
Oh, I wish we could forget that.
Well, So basically, I had a series of little problems, stomach upset, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Lack of appetite.
Rigor mortis and a rotting spell?
Maybe not that far. Okay. I was being a bit sick out the other end, you know, as it goes.
Yeah, trust me, I know.
So I go to the doctors and they're like, all right, we'll have a look. They do a bit of blood tests and they're like, all right, we're going to shove a tube up your ass and down your throat.
So there's a tube going in both ends or?
Not at the same time, just one after the other.
Okay. Okay.
But they wanted to do a full camera look, so. And this is a procedure. This is saying.
This is science.
Intense. you get this book and it's like. So, it was. I had it done on the Friday morning. On Tuesday was the last day I could eat a proper meal.
Oh.
Wednesday, I was only allowed to eat.
So you don't get poop all over the camera, yeah. You gotta. Yeah. You flush your system.
Yeah. Wednesday was me allowed to eat, certain types of food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, solid foods kind of thing. And then, Thursday was the day where I was not allowed to eat anything, but I had to take a series of tablets there. Oh, boy. But, yeah, so I had work. I had work on the days leading up to Wednesday, and then I had Thursday and Friday off work. And what I didn't realize is that on the Wednesday, I had to take mm-hmm. the first helping of the medicine. So, I woke up, normal time, I took these two little pills, but I weren't really sure what they were. I thought they were something to prepare my body. I didn't think they were the start of it. And then I went to work for 6 hours.
Oh no.
Having realised that I just had the first helping of laxative.
Oh no. Oh no. So oh no. Oh no. You poor soul.
So I've never had this occurrence because normally, moment like, there's a rumbling in your stomach, I run to the toilet, as any normal person mm-hmm. should do. You never want to hold it in and see what happens.
Yeah.
But I realised that I was about half an hour in is the first time I got an inkling that I needed to go to the toilet. I really couldn't. I was kind of by my own in this shop.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, okay, I'll pass. I take a couple of sips of water. It starts to pass. Half an hour later, the exact same thing, but lasts double as long, and it keeps going like that. I managed to take a few deep breaths, have a little sip of water, and then the moment passes for a little bit, and then suddenly it comes straight back.
Like the Kraken. I know.
Yeah. It's like there's something knocking at the back door, basically.
It's not knocking, it's pushing in.
But yeah, so I'm I'm getting hot, I'm getting sweaty, I'm just I'm not shaking, but I'm trying to move around. And then it gets to a point where I think a customer knocks something over. And I was okay, I should, as an employee, I should probably help them pick that stuff up, but I really don't want to bend over.
You know.
So luckily, I work in a shop and I'm standing up for all the 6 hours, which is probably helpful because you sit down and your body starts to think, oh, I'm on the toilet.
Yeah.
So I'm great there. I finish work somehow. And, I'm walking out of work, I'm I've done this. And, I'm thinking to myself, because I have a problem with public toilets. It's that I just don't find them clean. And when you've got this kind of problem, you don't really want to let loose in a public toilet where other people will be able to hear, smell, probably taste.
Oh, Jamie. So why?
I've got a 10-minute drive. I could do this. Whew, that was a 10-minute drive. I drove to work, I drove home, I parked my car in probably the least tidy fashion you can. I only basically pulled in, brakes, keys out, ran, locked the door, ran back to my house, unlocked the door, and just, I basically hibernated in the bathroom for 2 hours.
Did you unleash the Kraken?
Oh, God, I unleashed some things. So I had that, And after that, it was kind of like a rinse repeat. I would leave the bathroom for maybe a little bit of time, go back in, leave, go back in, that kind of thing. And I began to take more medicine. And then I moved on to a different kind of medicine, which was described to me as the proper laxative.
The proper.
So at this point, I'm thinking to myself, all right, I've taken 6 pills, I've destroyed my bathroom, and now I'm moving on to the proper stuff?
Oh my, you poor, you miserable creature.
So yeah, so first day was a mixture of the proper stuff, not being able to eat, which was just miserable. And that, like, it was to the point where I was just so uncomfortable that I couldn't play games. Like, I wouldn't want to play, I'd play my Xbox, I'd be like, I can't do this.
You're too pressured by what's going on beneath.
I was just lying in bed, just watching TV, and then every, like, half an hour, I was just pausing it and disappearing for like half an hour.
I gotta get away. Gotta get away. Can't let them find me.
Yep. Luckily, it gets to the point where there's nothing left in your body, so there's nothing left to push out. So eventually, it got to a point where I was just like, oh, good. So now I just need to lie down and suffer with the hunger that's in my stomach.
Quote, unquote, luckily.
Yep. So I wake up the next morning and go to the hospital and everything, and like, I, like, walk in, I go up to the desk, there's this, like, nurse here, she's, like, a middle-aged woman, so I'm just thinking, okay, it's a bit embarrassing, but, you know, and she's like, okay, I'll go get the nurse that'll be looking after you. Really attractive blonde walks in. I'm like, fuck. And I'm like, okay, and then she's looking at the chart, she's like, oh, you're getting both. I'm like, yeah. Oh, Lena, a bit of chit-chat, bit of being nice, like, gives me a drink, tells me it'll be okay. It's like, here's a gown, change into the gown. I'm like, okay. So it's what they give you is they give you a hospital gown and they give you a pair of shorts with a flap at the back.
So it's for easy access.
Effectively. So I'm sitting there and I'm sitting in this waiting room, kind of. I'm wearing slippers, I'm wearing a hospital gown and then shorts and flap. And the nurse is like talking to me. She's like, got a hand on my hand. I'm like, oh, this is nice. And then, like, I'm thinking to myself, okay, this is, all right, this is going to be fine. So I go in, and then she's coming in with me, and I'm like, oh, I didn't realize she'd be in here for the actual procedure. And then she, like, so there's 3 people. There's the doctor, a nurse that's helping him, and then
the nurse,
basically my nurse.
Yeah, the one who followed you
who just sits in a chair, like, looking in next to me. Like, I'm lying down. They do the mouth first, because apparently that's nicer. It's really not, but...
In comparison, it's nicer.
Yeah. So they get, like, this numbing spray, like, they spray down your throat, so your throat, you know, you feel it less.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very odd thing when you're, like, when they're, like, just spraying your gob, and your gob's just, like, oh, and you just don't feel anything in the neck, and then they're just getting this long camera and just going, like, all right, here we go. They got that, and they got like a thing in my. They got like a whole thing in my mouth to keep my mouth open. I'm like at this point, I'm like, I'm starting to think that maybe this isn't a procedure, and I'm just in the next 50 Shades of Grey movie. So they do that, and they shove the tube down me, and then they got the television screen there. They're like, "Why don't you can have a look and see what we're seeing?" I'm like, "Okay,
bad idea."
So doing this, I'm looking at the doctor, and he's, like, pushing this thing down my throat, but he's just staring at the TV, because, like, that's guiding him. And I'm kind of like, hey, this is kind of odd. It's kind of a weird situation. I've got the nurse next to me whispering in my ear, saying if it's going to be okay, I'm doing well, not too long now. I'm thinking to myself, this bit I'm okay with. The next bit is where the bit I'm concerned about. So it gets to the end, and they pull it out, and it gets to this point where it gets in my throat. And, like, up until then, I didn't feel anything. Like, it's moving, but, like, I'm like, okay, this ain't too bad. Then they pull the final little bit, and I'm just like, ugh! It's like, Jesus. That was something.
That should not have been in there.
And then suddenly I'm noticing that the nurse is, like, got, like, a napkin or something. She's just, like, wiping my chin. And I look down, and there's just, like, a load of drool all down me. I'm just like, oh, God. So then, you know, they're like, they put everything away. And they're like, okay, now would you like to turn around? I'm like, don't ask me if I'd like to, because I wouldn't like to.
Technically, I'd rather not.
Yeah. So then I lie down. I lie down on my front. I turn my head, so I'm looking dead in the nurse's eyes.
Oh, jeez.
Looks like you were doing. And if I tilt my head up here, I can still see the screen again. And then I feel the gown get moved up a little bit. I was like, okay. And then I suddenly feel the little flap get lifted up. And I feel like this, and I feel the chill in a place that I've never felt a chill before. I was like, and then I'm looking at the screen, and the camera's on, but it's not yet in my ass. So I'm just seeing like a perfect view of like blue shorts and a little square.
Did you saw the insertion? That's horrible. Oh my gosh.
I'm looking at the screen, I'm thinking, I'm looking at my ass in a way that I'm never going to see my ass, and there's three people also looking at my ass.
What? Did they not give you, like, drugs to, like, make you not aware of something, or...?
Yes, they do, and I still remember. Like, sometimes you forget it all, sometimes you don't. That's that kind of thing.
I was going to say, because, like, in the US, they gave you a drug that you're awake, but you won't remember any of it.
Yeah.
So that, because it can't have you unconscious, but... This way, at least, it's the next best thing. As I say, like, I mean, if they made you do that while you're awake, Jamie.
Well, I don't remember any of like the actual pain or the physical stuff. I just kind of remember what I see. It's like I saw it all, but I don't like feel it all, kind of thing. But yeah, apparently, sometimes the drugs just don't knock your brain out afterwards.
That should never be a phrase you have to hear. Sometimes the drugs don't knock you out afterwards.
I kept getting told the whole time that, like, I will forget most of it. I might remember little bits, but... No, I can't remember the whole procedure. I probably remember it in, like, a sped-up way. You know, mm-hmm. like, just the key bits. So it's probably, like, spaces where nothing was happening, but... I kind of remember tube in, tube out, turn around, tube in, tube out.
You remember the important parts.
But, yeah, so then... And then comes the nice bit. Well, not the nice bit, the whole bit.
The nice bit.
The camera's slowly getting closer. Now, I've never seen an anus before. But that's an ugly looking thing. And I don't know, I don't remember how he actually, like, parts it. He must do it with, like, his hand or something. Because the next thing I know, whoop, and then I'm seeing it inside me. I'm seeing, oh, so that's where my shit goes. So the camera's moving up. And it's, like, twirling around my intestines or whatever. And, like, I feel this. I remember this. It felt like I could feel it nudging on parts of me that I've never felt before. Like, you've got all this stuff inside you, but you never feel your bowel or your intestines until suddenly a little camera's nudging every corner of them.
These aren't phrases I should ever hear.
So that goes in, and then it all comes out. Surprisingly, that one didn't hurt coming out. Probably because stuff's used to be coming out that end.
Yeah, it's the other way it's not used to.
But yeah, so that's done. And then, like, I turn around again on the thing, and they put, like, a blanket over me or something. Mm-hmm. And then I just start, and then suddenly I'm being wheeled out, and I'm just thinking to myself, okay, this is nice, this is over. My throat's still quite numb because of that numbing spray.
Mm-hmm.
I get put into a nice, like, recovery area, like they just push me into the bed, into the area. Curtains are closed. All alone for a little bit. Take a nice little deep breath. I had a bag, so I like my phone with my phone and stuff. So I'm looking at that. And then like nurse comes in. She's like, "Okay, would you like to try some food?" I was like, "Yes." I'd say in this circumstance, when you haven't eaten for a day and then had stuff inside you, you probably would eat anything. And, yeah. I think I ate 3 helpings of sandwiches, and then, like, 5 packets of biscuits. And it got to a point where I was just sitting here, and I was just eating food after food, and they're like, "Okay, you seem to be feeling quite well. Would you like to get dressed now and leave?" Or, you know. I was like, oh.
You're, in other words, you're eating too much, sir. We need to kick you out.
Yeah. I was like, okay. So I get up, and I'm still wearing that weird stuff. And I'm just thinking to myself, oh man, I forgot I was wearing this crap. So, like, something I didn't realize is that at some point during the procedure, I must have just started sweating because this stuff was just soaking wet. So I take that stuff off, I get dressed, I just put that stuff down on the bed. I'm like, okay, someone will clean that. And then I'm leaving, and that nurse is there, and she's like, you feeling okay now? I'm like, yeah. I'm just, and then I go, my medicine, you can't drive, so I get picked up by my mum. And she's just like, okay, how do you feel? I'm like, can we go get McDonald's? And I ate quite a lot that day. Yeah. But yeah, I was kind of it. I go home. I ate probably about... didn't stop eating. Recuperated. And then just started telling everyone about it. Because I think it's a funny story, really.
You describing the insertion is probably the best part.
Yeah. It's the kind of story where, like, if I should just finish it at where the insertion ends, because that's when it starts being funny. Like, I feel like if you end it there, people are gonna be like, "Were you okay afterwards?"
No.
Like, and then I died. They pulled the tube out, and that's it. But yeah, I had that, and I had an MRI last year.
Okay.
They suck.
They don't sound very fun.
Nah. Luckily everything's sorted now. I just occasionally have to get a blood test just to make sure everything's under control.
Make sure nothing's changed too much.
Yeah. But compared to that stuff last year, like, a couple of blood tests don't really bother me now.
it's better than feeling something got in my butt where something should never be.
But yeah. That was July. Because about a week later, I went away for 2 weeks with my friends.
That's right. And you, like, you guys, you only went like 2.5 hours away and you rented a hotel room.
We rented a caravan.
This just doesn't make any sense to me.
That seems weird to you, doesn't it?
It does.
Like, if you go 2 hours away, you just drive home at the end of the day, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the furthest you can go in Britain without, you know, boat or plane or Scotland.
Yeah. Not over here. Like, that'd be taking a really long time to get into Chicago.
Yep. It's a big difference between you and me.
There is. Just a little.
Just a little.
Just a tip.
No, more than a tip. But yeah, that's it. Honestly, I have been dying to tell that story for ages. I've just haven't known the context.
You've never had a chance to bring it up?
I felt like I've wanted to save it for this podcast.
Jimmy wanted to save the story of his of something happening in his rectum.
Yeah, I got double penetrated.
That's one way. Yeah, that's one way of putting it. How's it feel?
I will admit, it would have been cool if they did both at the same time, just so they could look at each other inside. just seeing, like, here's some intestines. Oh, look, there's the other camera. And they just, like, stare at each other and then leave.
I don't mean to entirely burst your bubble, but that would not have been physically possible. Because the amount of camera they would need to get through your large intestine tract would have been quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, you do notice that. Like, it's a long camera, but then when you think about the intestines and the way they just, like, go in and out.
Yeah, intestines go a very long distance.
But yeah. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think they also took samples from inside me, but I don't remember that.
I would hope you wouldn't remember that.
I remember them mentioning it, and I remember, like, a bit of, like, look, like a little, like, thing, like cutting in me or something. I was just like, that's weird.
They're cutting inside my butt.
Yeah, I remember I got like a thing and it just read through everything and they're like, samples took internally. I was like, did they do that? I don't remember that bit.
Did they do things to my butt?
Maybe like in a South Park, I've got a probe up there now.
It's ready to burst out at any moment. explosively.
Yeah. God.
And that's Jamie's story of the time he had to, he got double penetrated.
That was such a week.
It sounds like such a week. I actually knew a guy once who, he had to get a colonoscopy, and so, but he still came to work even though he was gonna have to take laxatives. Because, we were telling him, like, dude, no, you really don't want to be here. And he was like, oh, you guys are just giving me horror stories and stuff. It won't be that bad. And then, because he didn't believe the horror stalks about it. He thought it was just people exaggerating. So, this is where I work now. It was somewhere else. We're pushing these trailers, and they sit on these air skids so that, you know, you can actually move them, because otherwise it'd be way too heavy. But occasionally it gets caught and placed on the floor. We'd all have to get together and push it. And so I'm doing something, and I see everyone going to push a trailer, so I go over to go help them because it was caught in this one part of the floor. And right as I'm walking down there, they start to push. And this guy, like, that was the feeling of pushing, exerting his muscles. All of a sudden he's going, uh-oh. And he just, like, in a face he made, it's like the epiphany you see of, like, I left the stove on, except it was more like, uh-oh, I'm going to crap everywhere. And he just starts booking it towards the bathroom. And everyone there knew what was going on. We all just start laughing. We didn't see him again for 3 hours.
Yeah.
And he came back and he was like, huh, yeah, you guys were right. We warned you, man.
I don't know how people, because there's some people who just take laxatives every once in a while just to clean out. Basically, they take it for like health reasons. I don't get those.
Yeah, people who like cycle or quote unquote cycle their system or some crazy stuff like that.
Yeah,
I don't get it either.
Like what good reason do you need to have nothing in your ass unless you're smuggling heroin? unless you're like, all right, I've got to get all this heroin into Cuba. Let me just do a bit of a clear out here.
Well, that's why you put it in bags. And you don't poop it out afterwards. You cough it back up, or they do surgery to get it out.
Well, they make it all come all the way up. Ugh.
Yeah, that's what they mean. Like sometimes smugglers who would smuggle small things, like messages or keys or stuff, they'd put it in a balloon and tie a balloon to a string, and then they'd swallow that and tie the end of the string to their tooth, so that they could pull it back up later.
I get that, but sometimes they put the balloon in their ass and they just like start filling it with the balloon in their ass.
Oh yeah, that's why we have full cavity searches.
Yeah, I mean, people do anything to move stuff, I guess.
Yeah, you gotta do anything to have that dough in prison.
The thing is, you don't want to go to prison and then be like, "What are you in here for?" And it goes, "Oh, I put some stuff up my ass." They're like, "Oh, you're perfect. You're gonna fit in here quite well."
No.
On the inside, we call that practice.
Oh no!
See, that's all unique. See, I don't get it.
That's horrifying.
So, we talked about Mass Effect. Is there anything else video game related at the moment? I know Wildlands came out, but I don't think either of us picked that up.
Oh yeah, that's true. That came out recently. You're right though. I did not pick that up.
Yeah, I feel bad, but I think The Division kind of let it down. Like people saw how Division was, and they don't want a repeat of that with just a different environment.
Well, Tom Clancy games seem to have a very specific niche of market anyway. Too, it's not something that you just go out and get.
Very true. I still think Rainbow Six Siege is probably the best Tom Clancy game.
It's one of the better, it's probably the better ones that they've ever done in a very long time.
Yeah. It's just probably with Division, it's just doing it on your own was just so empty.
Yeah.
Same with a lot of them, really. Oh. I imagine Wildlands looks exactly the same. Like, they really focused on the co-op.
It does, that's why I didn't get it. It didn't look like a game I'd be able to play with friends.
Yeah. But the only reason you'd get it, really, is if you had a guaranteed group of people who are also going to get it. Otherwise, it's just, what's the point?
Yeah, that's about how I feel about it.
I noticed that you play For Honor a bit. For Honor a bit.
For Honor is definitely becoming a lot of fun to me.
I couldn't get into the beta. I mean, I got into the beta, I just couldn't get into the game.
Into the game itself.
Yeah.
Yep. I will say, though, I would suggest giving it a shot. It's definitely... It's fun if you find the right class to play as. And there is a... Despite what people say, there is a variety of people to play as. And some of them are more like surprise characters. Like, you wouldn't expect them to be that much fun, but they are. Like the Shugoki.
Hmm.
He has a move where he can just pick you up and he just, like, breaks you over his back like Bane. I'm not even joking. It's the most amazing thing.
It's the kind of game where I watch people play it and I'm thinking it looks fun, it looks enjoyable, but then I think to myself, yeah, but they know how to play it and they know all the little things and they're working as a team. Well, I always feel like I'll just get into it and I won't be able to figure it out and I'll just be like, they'll just kind of ruin it for me.
Yeah. I can't say much for playing as a team, but the story is actually a pretty decent way to learn how to play the game. Because a lot of those mechanics you are going to end up using. And they take you through three classes throughout the campaign, so you do learn quite a bit.
Hmm. Yeah. It's just at the moment as well, I've got such a game backlog that I just haven't really been chipping away at all.
Yeah.
I mean, the most I'm doing is I'm occasionally doing some Halo Wars. Halo Wars 2. But besides that, I've got like Batman, I've got Titanfall, I've got Tomb Raider from like 2 years ago.
Yeah, I forgot I still have that game.
Yeah. It's the kind of games that you just want to be able to invest a lot of time at once. And I just can't. I mean, Titanfall 2 I could probably get through because I think I'm a good way through the campaign. I'm kind of sad that with Titanfall 2, not as many of us picked it up as the original Titanfall, because, you know, it's fun multiplayer, but I always feel like multiplayer is fun when you're playing it with other people.
Yeah, it is always better that way.
I had the same problem with Halo 5, where not many of you guys took enjoyment out of the multiplayer, so most of you stopped playing it. Because compared to Halo 4, like, Halo 4 was a great multiplayer game for Team DeBar.
Yeah, we did a lot on there. Probably because Halo 4 didn't suck as much as Halo 5.
Hopefully Halo 6 will be better.
Yeah. Hopefully they'll give the reins back to someone who knows what they're doing.
I mean, they already made the announcement that split screen's coming back.
Thank goodness. That especially there was that a killer for me. You. Yeah.
Yep.
I wanted to see my buddies beat the snot out of each other.
Honestly, I just kind of wish that the Master Chief Collection was a bit more stable, because just how much is in that when you think about it.
Yeah. Yeah, that was definitely something gone bad.
Yeah. I feel like it's kind of like Overwatch is the last big multiplayer game that a lot of Team DeBar have picked up on together.
Yeah. It's just a lot of fun.
Besides that, I think the only other one is Assassin's Creed Black Flag, but even that's kind of dying down now after 3-4 years.
Yeah, that was really... I don't know how we describe that game. It's not one we played. I don't know. It's hard to say. It was kind of restricted, because it only had like 8 people who could play, as opposed to others now, which have 12 or 16.
Yeah. I'll tell you what we need. We need like a We need a first-person shooter, solid multiplayer, that all Team DeBar can just jump on.
Yep. The next game like that would be...
I don't think there's been any announcements for the next FPS, really.
I mean,
obviously...
Mass Effect 3 had a great co-op system, but that's definitely different.
Yeah. I mean, I still think... there's a Call of Duty in the end of the year, but...
I still think everyone needs to learn how to play Smite.
You won't rest until everyone's playing Smite. But even then, that's only 5 people.
10. 5 on each team.
That's true, but... I suppose it works. I suppose 10's enough.
Yeah, I always wanted to do...
I always wanted to arrange a debauchery in a Tomb Raider multiplayer. It's just because it's so dumb but fun.
That is definitely an example of dumb but fun. Yep. That game. Just the rage.
I know. Like, there's certain games where you can tell multiplayer was, like, the thing they less focused on.
Which I don't mind, look at it. But that doesn't mean then that you should tack it on.
It reminds me of the Batman Arkham Origins multiplayer.
Oh, that was awful.
Which didn't make sense at all.
Did people even play that?
Not for long. I don't even think there was that many multiplayer achievements, but I think there were some, so people probably played it for that, and that's about it.
Yeah, that was definitely an example of it done wrong.
But I will say, a game that at the moment is very interesting me, even though I really shouldn't be getting interested in games when I have a bunch to play, is Sniper Elite 3, or 4, whichever one is. The new Sniper Elite.
Yeah, that'd be number 4. I played through and I beat 3. It was alright, but it was more or less the same with the thing. The same thing as it always had been.
Is it you just get to an area and there's primary objectives and secondary objectives?
Yeah, you do your objectives and you snipe people. And really, yeah. I still think the best thing they ever did was it's available now on the consoles. I've been trying to get you guys to pick it up so 4 of us could play together.
Warframe?
No.
No?
Warframe, but no, I'm talking in terms of Sniper Elite. The Sniper Elite Zombie Mode.
Oh, yeah, the, shit, what's that called?
I can't remember what they called it.
Zombie Army Trilogy, isn't it?
Yes.
Yep.
And that's fun, because you get the expansion packs for all for the first 3 games that were zombies, and you can just go around headshotting zombies, and it's a fun challenge.
I mean, when you think about it, in terms of when it was released, I wouldn't be surprised if it comes up on Games with Gold sometime soon.
Yeah. I paid full price for it.
Or it could be part of the upcoming Xbox Anytime thing, whatever it is.
Yep.
The Xbox subscription program where you pay like $10 a month and get access to about 100 games. Which I like. I probably will actually look into that and might do it. Just so I I could just, like, look through a list of games, and if any take my fancy, I'd be like, oh, I could play this, then delete it. And not really feel like I'm paying full price for a game that I just want to beat once and then be done with.
Yeah, I have it on both consoles, so whichever one you get it on, pick it up, and I will happily play through with you.
Good. I'll definitely look into it, because I don't know what it is, but it's just kind of the sniping thing and the taking your time. It kind of interests me.
Well, and plus in that one too, because there's just like so many zombies coming at you, you can change it too, the proportion of zombies, from like the appropriate portion to as many as 4 people when there's only 1 person fighting. So like the number of zombies on the screen is quadruples, and you just got to take them all down. And you can only kill them with headshots.
Oh, sweet. Makes sense.
Yeah. So, like, they'll get knocked down if you shoot them enough with, like, a machine gun in the chest, but then they'll get back up. So you have to use all the mines and the sniper rifles and grenades to your disposal, and you have to watch out, because not only do you have the zombies, you also have suicide zombies, which will run at you with grenades, so you have to kill them before they get close and blow you up. There's also skeletons that you have to beat up, and there's like, super zombies, which take like 3 or 4 headshots to kill.
Interesting. Yeah, I'll just need to look up for it if I ever see it on like sale or something. But going off with the I mentioned Games with Gold. Later this month, Evolve's going to be Games with Gold. That to me is the prime example of a game that like just died upon impact. Like there was so much built around that, and then it just didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Did you ever play it? I don't remember if you did.
Some, but then it kind of like the model for stuff wasn't fun, and like with other things, other people stopped playing, so I stopped playing.
Yeah. I feel that happens way too often. It's just a game just goes, like, hype is a problem. It just kills games, which is why things like E3, like, I love it for what it is, but also I hate when they reveal a game that's not coming for like 2 years or something. Like, if they showed off an amazing, like, gameplay of a game and they were like, this is out next week, that would be great, because you wouldn't have enough time to overhype it. You'd just have the right amount of hype. And I feel like when you see something about a game again and again and again for like months, by the time it's there, you're just like, you just can't be dealing with it.
You're saturated with it.
Yeah. You'll get the No Man's Sky effect.
Well, that was different there.
No Man's Sky was just promises that weren't kept.
Yep.
Like, it should have been delayed. It's honestly, I think
they probably shouldn't have done so much of it, or made so many promises too.
Yep. I mean, they recently did an update where they added land vehicles. Like, you can get a car and or a rover and stuff like that.
I imagine in a year or two that game's going to be really fun to play, and I'll wait then to re-download it. But for the moment, no.
Do you think in a year or two I'd have like co-op and actual online multiplayer kind of thing?
Yeah, I'm in a year.
It'll
or two.
Be one
I imagine
well. World. Like, I'll start playing it when that happens, and I can like run around space with you.
Yeah. We can fly together until you forget how to come out of hyperspace.
Oh yeah, I was just drifting. I remember that. So, I'm still going. I was waiting for it to die, that's what it was.
Yeah, you were waiting for your fuel to run out. Who knows where in the world that would have left you.
Ooh, that was a travel. But yeah. I feel like a year from now, you'll get into it and like, it'll probably be a great game in about a year or two, but right now it's just, it's like if someone designed parts of a game, and then we're just like, all right, now who's gonna finish this up? And then someone goes, oh, it's finished, and put it out. It's like, no, it's halfway done.
Publishing does.
Yeah, it's like they had like the landscapes, they had the environments, they had that kind of stuff in, but they just didn't have the content in that world. They just added this big blank. It'd be like if they had made Minecraft, but they just took out like, what would it be? It'd be like Minecraft if you couldn't build. Or if you couldn't destroy blocks or something dumb like that. I don't even know. I feel like,
yeah.
I feel like I'm thinking about Minecraft.
The thing with Minecraft is that it started as a beta first, so they didn't quite come out entirely.
Yeah. But because it came out like on PC first, I think that's a difference. Like the fact that it was that No Man's Sky was a full game release with barely anything on it.
Yep. Yeah, they waited until it had stuff in it for it to be a proper release.
Like it'd be like if they released Breath of the Wild, but they just took out all the enemies.
that would make me sad. Don't say that about my precious Nintendo.
And it was just a world exploring game. But with no characters to interact with whatsoever. That'd be terrible. I saw a funny video. Not to spoil the game for you. But there's a bridge. And if you stand on the edge of the bridge, a guy runs up to you and just tries to talk you out of it, thinking you're about to kill yourself. And then he offers to sit with you and talk. Like, it's a really weird, like, it's kind of Easter egg thing. But yeah, that to me, that's the kind of game that's going to have things discovered in it in like a year's time.
I couldn't tell you, haven't played it.
I'm sorry, I didn't want to bring it up, but I just thought of that.
I'm so sad.
I mean, you got the game, you just ain't.
I can't do anything with it though, it's just sitting there.
Is it looking at you? Does it watch you at night?
It is, actually. I accidentally propped it up in a spot where I can see it no matter where I am. It's like my new shrine.
So annoying. I feel bad for you as well, because here there's still Switches around. Like, I go to shops and there's like some just sitting there on display. I'm just like, do people not just buy? Did they just overstock it in this country? Like, it's like they wanted the opposite effect of what happened to the Wii here, but they wanted the effect that happened to the Wii for you.
Or they just underestimate it again because Americans are crazy.
They kind of underestimated it for you, but overestimated for us or something. They didn't get the balance right. Maybe we've just got a bunch of American ones by accident. They had like another 100,000 for America, but they came to England by mistake.
Well, we'll find out. But either way, I think it's time we let the people get back to what they're doing, a.k.a. playing Zelda. And we will see them again in the next season. So thanks, everybody, for listening. Hope you enjoyed this podcast. And remember, I don't even know what I'm going to say. Just remember, we'll see you guys on the next level.
Dave, you'll have Zelda next week. Just think about that. Next week, Dave will be happy.
Maybe. We'll see.
Maybe. Goodbye.